Hi there, this is Alvin, and welcome to the Kickstart Commerce Podcast, where we share search marketing and domain name investing strategies to help grow your business. In today's episode, I'll discuss 16 common pitfalls of domain development and how you can proactively avoid each one should you venture into developing your domain portfolio. So with that, let's get started with the first common pitfall of domain development. One of the very first things that I tell most people that most don't realize is that they end up running someone else's race instead of their own. So whether you want to say that you're working at someone else's strengths and not your own, or you're just wanting to copycat an idea, I don't think that that's the best approach, especially when your skill sets don't necessarily match their skill set. Obviously, no two people are the same. So that being said, why would you then try to go out and implement someone else's dream just because you think that it could be lucrative? I remember when Groupon came out years ago, and you know, it just seems like there were copycat sites that end up popping and cropping up only for the sake of hopefully launching something, getting purchased or acquired, and rolling around in, I guess, your millions or billions of dollars. That was the hope. And so it didn't work out, and it never pans out that way, regardless of the industry. Yeah, you'll probably find one or two people who are able to, I guess you'd say, put together the proverbial lightning in a bottle moment, but that doesn't always happen, and especially doesn't happen with domain development. So just because you see someone else do it doesn't necessarily mean that you should go do it. And so that's one of the first things that I often, as I'm approached, you know, just because I have a software development, web development background, plus I also have a business, the business acumen to pull most businesses off, only because I have served in various roles and positions in terms of consulting businesses. And so I get the nuts and bolts of certain industries. That being said, I look at it and I go, I'm someone that has the ability, one, not just to own the domain, but I also have the ability to develop the domain, but I also understand the business behind that domain. So you quite often don't find the three in one as well. You know, you quite often don't find two of those in one person. So that being said, I think that's the first common pitfall, is running someone else's race instead of focusing on your own. So, you know, to proactively address this one, what I tell most people is take a piece of paper out and list what you think that you're good at. You know, write down at least the five top things that you're good at, and then go to, I'd say, you know, definitely more than five people. Try to aim for anywhere between 5 to 10 persons. Go to them and simply ask them, hey, take out a sheet of paper, or you bring a paper with you and a pen, and go, listen, I want you to write down the five things that you think that I do well. Don't say anything else. Just ask them, hey, list five things that you think I do well. You know, tabulate everything, put it into a matrix, and see how well you actually line up to what people perceive that you're good at versus what you think you're good at, or you know that you're good at, and see if those align. That's one of the first things that I recommend most people do before they just jump, you know, even before purchasing a domain. It's like, no, you really need to figure out, is this your strength before you move forward? So, you know, instead of running out there seeing that Joe Blow has set up a site and it appears that he's doing well, now take your time, do your research, do your homework, and don't run someone else's race. Get into your own lane. Work with and well within your own strength. So that's, you know, the common pitfall number one of attempting to develop a domain. Number two, and this is one that doesn't necessarily have to, I guess, do with the domain itself. It's more about personal character and integrity in terms of not putting in the work and not staying the course, rather giving up too soon. Too many times I see, you know, like I said, because you see someone develop a domain and you hear that, hey, they're doing, you know, four or five figures in monthly recurring revenue. And so the initial thought is, oh, hey, I can go do that too. And oftentimes, if not the same industry, you say, oh, I can go do that in another industry. I've been up that hill many, many times. It's just not a hill, especially when you're outside of that, again, your strength. If you're not well within your strength, then you've already missed the boat. And so I see people trying to shortcut the process of, you know, not putting in the work. What I mean there is you're going and spinning article content. You're paying for things to be written. And it's no big deal that you pay for things. But at the end of the day, I go, this is the product that's being presented to customers and end users reflects on you. It reflects on your brand. And so if you're not willing to put in the effort, put in the work to truly bring about original content, it will shine through. People can see it. They know it. I mean, as they read it, as they watch a video, they can tell whether or not you're putting forth your best effort and whether or not this is something that you're truly passionate about. And so, you know, if you're not going to be passionate about it, stay away from it. Don't do it. You're only going to do harm to your personal brand as well as the brand that you're attempting to build. The flip side of that is if you're not putting in the work, then you either give up too early. And I can, you know, I can speak to this personally with kickstartcommerce.com that I started March 1st, 2013, originally starting Kickstart as a search marketing company. But then over the course of time, I kept coming back to writing about domains. And what I truly found is that domains are a passion. That's what I love talking about when everybody else is kind of glazed over in the eyes. Now, obviously, I try to pay attention to those cues and not do that to individuals who aren't as passionate about the industry as I am. But that being said, there were a couple of moments in time with KickstartCommerce.com that I can remember distinctly three different nights that I pulled up the PHP, my admin, or my admin PHP, and I remember clicking drop the database and the little confirmation window coming up, and I sat there for the longest time going, well, man, I don't have comments on it. It doesn't seem like I'm getting good Google organic, organic Google ranking or any organic traffic. I should just stop while I'm ahead. Fortunately, I'm glad that I didn't. Those three distinct moments, obviously, because now when you look back through time, of course, now I'm contributing writing for domainnamewire.com as well as the domains.com as well as tldinvestors.com and a few other things that will be coming to light soon here. Had I given up, these opportunities likely would never have come along. And so that being said, you want to put all that you have into it, but even when things seem like they aren't going anywhere, and typically when you get to that desperation moment of quitting, actually you're likely your closest to the next breakthrough. So it's one of those things of you quit, but you didn't know just around the bend, you know, something was awaiting you. Your breakthrough was awaiting you in terms of developing this domain into a business. And so I think oftentimes people just give up too soon, you know, after 3, after 6 months. Well, you know, oh, well, I'm out of here. Well, even for me, even in my own personal projects, even as I'm approached by other people who want to partner with me because of my technical skill set, because of my business background, and so they may have a domain. When we come in and we partner to develop a domain, you know, one of the things that I tell most people, I said, listen, you have to understand that it's going to take at least 2 years minimum. So you have to be willing to commit at least 2 years of your time, especially if I'm developing the site, not from a content standpoint, but if I'm putting in the technical expertise to bring the site to life and to bring the brand to life, then as the owner of the domain, if they're the ones that have the expertise of writing the content, then I need for them to be putting their all in for that 24-month period so that one, Google and other major search engines, they will see that hey, these guys aren't just a fly-by-night, you know, type of boutique. They're actually putting out grade A content or search-friendly content, content that solves customers' problem and not necessarily sells to them. So that's number two, not putting in the work, not staying the course, and giving up too soon. Number three is, I kind of led into it a bit, it's who you partner or not partner with and when. Oftentimes, early on, and so I probably say a decade or so ago, when I was highly into web development, I get ideas and go out and register a domain and develop them, I tried to do everything myself. There are times for that, and then oftentimes there are times that you need to partner. And so, how do you know this? Well, one of the things that I wish I would have known, you know, a decade ago, or rather would have acknowledged and paid highly attention to and gave it great value, was the simple fact of going back to what I originally said out of the gate, which is knowing your strengths. You have to know what you are not only passionate about, but what you know that the common person may not know, because that then gives you that leg of advantage. It's when you don't know about an industry and you have to go learn about that industry that you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. Not to say that you shouldn't go do that, but understand that adds to, one, the level of complexity, because you're having to gain knowledge that you didn't already have. Plus, you have to build in additional time. And so, like I said, for me, when I partner develop with other people who own domains and I'm bringing the technical expertise to the table, I'm saying a minimum of 24 months. Well, if we're partnering and they don't know about that, then I almost really have to put yet another 24 months on there. And now we're talking 48 months to 60 months, almost 5 years that we have to say, okay, hey, we need to give this that much time, you know, to be able to really see whether or not we're going to be successful. And so you have to know that out of the gate. So my recommendation for you is to choose wisely. If you're the person that you don't have the technical background to bring a site to life, but you have the business knowledge and you have the domain, then what you're looking for is someone that you can partner develop with, someone who has the technical expertise, someone who understands search marketing, and don't go after simply just a website designer. I can't tell you the number of people who have done that, and then the person sets them up with something that looks to the likes of a Mercedes-Benz, but then underneath the hood, it's a Pinto engine, basically translating or meaning that, great, they set you up with a great, sleek-looking website, but then it's not search engine friendly. Or, you know, the user experience is a lousy experience that customers can't, or end users or visitors to your website can't find, you know, the needed information that they're in search of. And so, that being said, understand what you truly need. You need a well-rounded person who understands software or web development, as well as search marketing, as well as, you know, I even go as far as say lead generation and even some business experience in there. People do exist. Like I said, I'm here. I exist in that lane as well. And so oftentimes those who have a domain but don't necessarily have that experience that I speak of or that I even obtain, what I suggest to them is basically taking their time. As long as you have the land, meaning the domain name, you've got everything that you need. Now it's just a matter of taking time to do due diligence, to test the waters, if you will, with folks to understand whether or not they're going to be a good partner. Because like I said, if you're just in it of, hey, we're just in it to make money, guess what? Get ready. You're gonna go to the school of hard knocks likely, because you're going to choose the wrong partner. You're going to delay yourself even that much more. So be wise, just who you partner or not partner with and when you do that. And be sure that you get, you know, an agreement out there. That's the other thing in terms of figuring out this partnership. Make sure that you get an agreement written out. I don't care if it's on the back of a napkin, but get those points written out clear so that you all know what, you know, you're going to get paid or what your interest is in this development opportunity. And so that being said, the next common pitfall is unrealistic timelines and budget concerns. And so time and time again, I see people who go, well, hey, I have the domain. You got the expertise. Let's get something up. And they'll contact me on a Wednesday and they'll be ready to go by Monday. And I'm like, well, things don't work like that. Obviously, I wish that, you know, search engines worked like that. I really do. I mean, if that were the case, then, you know, I'd spend most of my days, you know, trying to find people who need my expertise as well as develop my own portfolio if that were the case. But it's not. And so we got to get back to what's a realistic timeline. In my opinion, you have to at least give domain development at least a 24-month period. And that's not just, hey, we bought the domain, we set up a site, and then we're just going to wait. No, you really must get into producing content and gaining a consistent reputation and a brand and what type of quality of content that's being produced or served up or even products or services that are being served up. And so don't think that just because you signed a contract to do domain development with someone or you developed this site and you launched it, and now we can just sit back and wait for 24 months and it'll all be well. It just doesn't work that way. And so you need to have realistic timelines. Also, don't think that, you know, you can have a champagne taste on a Sprite budget. You know, don't think that you can go out and get a developer, you know, to develop you something of great and high standard, you know, for $1,000. If you do, in most cases, if you were to pay a developer $1,000, they're likely going to want, you know, an ad revenue split of some sort to make up for the hours that they've lost in terms of setting this up, in terms of sustaining the development effort. And so you're going to pay me. And it's like the old saying, yo, pay me now or pay me later, but you will pay me. And so either you're going to pay for development and then you just have that person to develop a website and then basically be prepared to pay them some sort of support cost or build in your support cost over the next, you know, year or 2 year or whatever your monthly agreement is with that person. Or the flip side of that is if you don't pay them, let's say you pay $15,000 for a website. And I don't know what kind of website, but I'm just throwing out a number. If you paid someone $15 to develop their website to support it, then great. You may not do an ad revenue split with them. Whereas with someone, you may say, hey, I'll pay you, you know, let's just say $2,500 to basically set up, host the site. And so for instance, when people come to me, I typically, if they own the domain, then I say, hey, I'll provide the hosting. And I'll make sure that it's not, you know, shared hosting. I put it in its own virtual private server environment. I set them up with a great looking, responsive, mobile friendly, typically a WordPress design. And then we get them a custom logo. And so with that being said, it's like I provide all of this technical expertise to kind of shortcut their experience. Now, at the same time, yes, they pay that $2,500 one-time fee to me. But then if it's $2,500, then I go, well, hey, wait, we've got to do a revenue split because obviously I'm not getting paid for the rest of my time in terms of supporting this ongoing effort years in advance. And so that being said, that's one of the things that you have to decide. Either you're going to pay up front and have more ownership, or you're going to have less ownership, but at the same time, the technical requirements are not necessarily going to be on you or that technical hassle, should you be the one partnering with a domain developer or just a web developer in general. And so make sure you have make sure you have realistic timelines and a realistic budget when you come into this. Don't think that you can just scrimp and save and get by and cut corners. You know, I go, hey, you really have to put in the time and the effort that it's going to take to really build out the domain. Next up is not securing the matching .com when using a non-.com domain. In most cases, when I develop domains, I actually develop using a .com. Rarely will I ever use like a .net or one of the new top-level domains. Not to say that I won't, but in most cases, because we've been around, I mean, the internet's been around almost 30 years, some odd 30 years, something like that, and for the last 30 years, it has been driven into the minds of most online searchers, .com. That's not to say that you can't develop using a non.com. There are many sites that are out there that are developed using a non.com, and they're doing quite well. But for the majority of those who are venturing into development, I recommend using a .com domain all the way. Now, should you not, then, and in most cases, for instance, I own AustinSEO.services. Now, I also own AustinSEOServices.com. So if I were ever to go and build out that name, then that name being AustinSEO.services, then I own the matching.com that then I can redirect and forward to the non.com. And so if you're going to develop on a non.com, that's what I recommend, is that you own that .com so that you can redirect to it. Or if you need to at some point, and if it's not working out, then you can switch to the .com and then redirect the non.com to the .com. It's happened before. It's nothing new under the sun. So yes, you can develop not using the .com, but like I said, I recommend that you secure the matching.com and forward it to the non.com when developing. Next up is something that's quite often overlooked and missed, and that's not securing social handles. So when we talk about a number of things in regards to social media, oftentimes when developing domains, people often forget to go out and secure their social handles via Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And so I recommend, and I tell people all the time, like, go out and get those, because you never know, one, who else may have the same idea and that handle may fall into. And then not only that, that's a part of your brand. Those social handles, yes, I know it says in the terms and conditions of most social platforms that you cannot or should not sell or resell, you know, social handles in an aftermarket. Well, I don't do it, but guess what? That doesn't mean that it's going to stop anybody else from doing it. I don't recommend it, yet it still happens. People are selling them, you know, a couple $1,000s, or oftentimes they're selling them in packages of, hey, we have the whole social network as well as the domain name together. We'll sell it to you for all one package. So they're used as sweeteners to enhance the value of a brand. And so I recommend that you secure those up front before you even begin development, before you even begin talking about the idea. It's very much like the domain. Don't go out there talking in the open about the idea and you've not registered the domain, because people listen and they know when they hear an idea, they go out and not only do they register the domain name, they also register the social handle. So avoid missing out on the opportunity to stake your claim to your necessary social handle. Next up is something that's critical when you start developing a domain name, and that oftentimes I see it and, you know, it leaves me doing a facepalm or just shaking my head, and it's having an idea but not documenting it, not having mock-ups or even prototypes of what the idea truly is. Oftentimes people get ideas and then they just rush into development, not having a plan, and then often what happens is the idea that they started with, because they rushed into development, it never gets fully developed as it was the original idea, because what happens in most cases is what's called in software development and engineering talk, gold plating. So if you don't know what gold plating is, it's essentially how you have gold plated things or chrome plated things to where on the outside it looks real good, it sounds real good, but then on the inside it's not really made of much of anything. And so you have a site, it looks good, but it really does nothing. And this is a common theme that I've seen from time and time again, because people do not take the necessary time to document, mock up, and even prototype before beginning development. So before a line of code is written, you need to document, you need to mock up, whether that's using Balsamiq or another wireframing tool, iRise, Sketch. There are many others that are out there, even Photoshop or Adobe Suite, many others. What I tend to tell most people is get the two basic tools. Either do it in PowerPoint or either do it in Google Slides. And the reason why I say do it in those, because oftentimes the learning curve for the other tools are quite extensive. But if you can get scaffolding in place of being able to say, I want my logo here, I want ad space over here, I want a picture or this image to look like this on here. And so oftentimes when I develop with or partner develop with individuals who have domains, one of the first things that I tell them is tell me your idea so that we can actually document it in a document. And that way, even if they choose not to develop with me, I've done them the courtesy of providing them documentation. I've done the courtesy of providing them a mock-up. And it's not a high fidelity mock-up. It's just really almost a sketch of this is likely what you'll need. And not only that, it basically guards to protect from the excitement of gold plating, from adding too much, because oftentimes that's the other side that'll get you, is because you don't document, mock up, and prototype, then you do gold plate, which leads you on a wild goose chase of putting in features that don't matter, putting in features that will be used less than 10% of the time, if at all. And so, you know, money and time are valuable. And so you don't want to spend development on things that don't matter. You only want to spend on things that do matter. So that being said, you know, document, mock up, and prototype before you ever write a line of code. The next common pitfall that's tied closely to this is spending too much time and money on custom development. I can't tell you the number of people that, you know, enter into domain development and they go, oh, but my idea is different. Oh, it's head and shoulders above the next, and it deserves, you know, its own. Please, man, stop it. Just stop. Your idea, likely someone else has had the same idea. Yes, ideas are a dime a dozen. And even when you execute, it's still not guaranteed. You know, you could still fail. So stop treating your idea as if it's the Holy Grail, and really start going, okay, this is my idea. What have I seen that's close to it? Because the reality is, if you're trying to think up this new thing, get ready, because if depending on who you ask to develop, they're going to take you for a ride, you and your bank account. And so And they're going to tell you, oh, you need all this custom this and custom that. And they'll probably start making up words on you that you've never heard. But because you think so highly of your idea and you've not done the research to figure out that, oh, there are other processes, other industries, other things that other sites that have been developed that exist that use that same functionality or near it, you know, because you didn't do that, then you basically, you know, you just pretty much wrote a blank check for development and it'll never end. And by the way, you likely won't even get what it is that you even aim for in the first place. And so I tell people all the time, cut back on that. Don't go the custom development route. Really sit down and go, these are the actions that we need for a minimum viable product, which again comes out of you documenting, you mocking up, and you prototyping. Doing those things help you to leverage and help you to get a bare bones basic minimal viable product, or you know, something that's basically what in Agile what they call shippable products. So it works, and then you can build upon that. Because a lot of times, especially when it's like media sites where it's just strictly content, I tell most people, I'm like, look, let's get the scaffolding stand up. Let's get it stood up, rather, the environment stood up, all the SEO structure in place. And then from that point, all we need is a logo and we need content and images. That's it. From there, we can begin to adjust and massage what the branding, what the look and feel feels like after we've got set in motion. Then and only then, and that's like typically I'll go ahead and start that, and then it's oftentimes not until 6 to 9 months that if that's where we start adding in custom features if they're needed. In most cases, what I try to recommend is we'll take a look, we'll scope a feature, and we will ask the question, has this been done before? If we come across yes, it has been, or we think it is, hey, let's go look at who's doing it, how they're doing it, because guess what? They have an advantage on us. They've done some research. And plus, I go, they put in the time, money, and effort. Why not use what they've developed when and where it's necessary? Now, obviously, don't go out there and start plagiarizing content or anything like that, or stealing somebody's patent. Don't go do that. But if it's a, I look at it and I go, if it is a, you know, wide use case, then why not use it? Why go and reinvent the wheel when you don't necessarily have to? So don't spend all your time and money on custom development. When and where possible, if someone already has done the work, hey, and it's, especially if it's open source, use that. Don't go out and reinvent the wheel. And so that's, you know, something that's common. That's something that I see, you know, often encountered as a pitfall in terms of domain development. Next up on the list, which if you're not, when you don't go and spend time and money on custom development, the very thing that you should use, which I basically encourage often, is using a content management system. So there are a number of systems that are out there. I can remember a decade or so ago when one of the hot e-commerce platforms that was, I mean, this platform is old too, OS Commerce was used. And I actually worked for a company who still is actually in existence, babyearth.com, and they used OS Commerce way back in the day. And I remember working for them and learning a bit about OS Commerce, and I used it for another site that was actually selling books. There, the babyearth.com was way more complex in terms of, even they did a bit of custom OS Commerce development, but they started out using a system that already existed and it was open source. So that being said, I recommend using a content management system that is open source. So use something like a WordPress, Joomla, or Drupal. Now, that being said, if you are not acclimated to development or just working with websites, let me just go ahead and save you a bit of time. Strictly use WordPress. If you're trying to use an e-commerce site and you don't want to pay for like Volusion, Shopify, the list goes on. I'm pretty sure that there are others out there, BigCommerce, and on. If you don't want to use those and pay for a monthly fee, because ultimately you're paying for their technology, they handle everything. If you don't want to do that, then go use WordPress, and don't use WordPress.com. Go to WordPress.org, download WordPress, or go to one of your web hosting providers. I know GoDaddy, Bluehost, HostGator, DreamHost, most of the web hosting providers today provide what's called a one-click installation of WordPress, and they also handle some of your updates. And if not, then there are also sites like Liquid Web, even WP Engine. And these sites basically offer you a platform by which, you can basically have a development environment and pay them for monthly support. It is a bit expensive. It does add to your budget. But guess what? You get to sleep at night and not have to worry. And you don't have to worry about trying to figure out your infrastructure. No. Let someone else handle that. But first things first, start with the content management system. And then the thing that I say about a content management system is that what you will want to do is use a theme. If you're starting out, again, I tell most people, listen, if you don't know that this is going to be a sure home run, and in most cases you don't know that from the beginning, then take a moment and take a step back and actually go, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to use a theme. I'm going to go out, purchase a theme just to get started. Now, what you may end up doing is purchasing a theme and then having your logo built around that theme. I've done many of those on my own personal development projects, as well as doing partner development with others, is that I essentially, we provide mock-ups, but then after that, we'll basically provide the mock-up to a site like 48 Hours Logo or 99 Designs, provide them with the look and feel, and then basically, for $150 to $200, you can get a logo done, as well as those same sites actually offer basically brand identity packages and even web development themes. So you could actually have a custom WordPress theme if you want there. But again, don't go that custom route just yet until your site can actually turn revenue, more specifically profit, that will cover the cost of actually going more customized route. So use a content management system when possible, because again, in most cases, using a content management system, using a theme, shortcuts all the process or takes all the guesswork that would likely cost you two arms and both of your legs, and basically it may even cost you your shirt, house, and home. So what I tell most people, hey, use a content management system. It already has the nuts and bolts of things figured out for you, as well as the theme. Next up, once you figure out what you're going to use, then please do not go cheap on web hosting. Now, obviously, I just mentioned a few of those, like WP Engine, Liquid Web, GoDaddy, Bluehost, HostGator, DreamHost, Dream Monster. The list goes on. Find a reputable web host and don't go cheap. I know that, hey, they're offering pennies on the dollar that you can do a shared hosting environment. And I'll definitely be transparent here. In some cases, I do start some of my projects out there, but those aren't partner projects. I typically start my personal projects out until that project proves itself to be, sustainable on its own. And so sometimes what that looks like is I started ccbtutorials.com out on its own. Well, it was actually in shared hosting for about a year, and then traffic started picking up, and I was able to make a little money off of it, basically doing consultations and a bit of software development work. And once that happened, once I turned the corner there, I set it on its own hosting plan. And so it's on its own hosting plan and, you know, doing quite well. But I did that basically to, one, yes, shared hosting does save you money. But then let's say, hey, your site goes bonkers, which I did have an instance to where, for instance, kickstartcommerce.com, it was in a shared hosting at one point. And about 2 years ago, someone read one of my articles and thought so highly of it that they wrote an article, and their article was featured on Inc.com. Yes, like the Inc. magazine, Inc.com. So Inc.com. The article went live, and I remember that morning thinking, man, my website's like really slow. And then I started getting emails from people saying, hey, is your site down or is it not up? And at that point, I didn't have monitoring, which, hey, 2020, always have monitoring on your website because you need to know when it goes down. I didn't, because that was, like I said, it hadn't really proved itself. And then the next thing I know, once I started going through Google Analytics, I could see that traffic literally traffic, it quintupled in a day based on that one person writing an article and linking to my website within the first, either the first or second paragraph of their article. So it was well above the fold and linked to. But that being said, I learned my lesson about cheap web hosting. And from that point on, I just said, hey, I'm going to put Kickstart there, you know, in its own environment. And it actually worked out well and has worked out well since then, because obviously now, I mean, there's affiliate income rolling in pretty consistently. And then there are other opportunities that are coming in, especially search marketing consulting opportunities that have been rolling in for years now that, hey, we make more than enough to cover that cost there. So don't go cheap. Get you virtual private server. And nowadays they actually call, basically it'll be either called like cloud hosting or business hosting. And they offer it, like way back in the day, like a decade ago, if you did virtual private server, you actually had to have the technical chops to know how to update the OS and patch and security updates and all that nonsense. Now that's not the case. In most cases, most web providers are providing the built-in service of, hey, you pay, you know, $39 a month. So it's like a monthly fee that you can either pay annually and receive a discount, or you just pay monthly and it's just that cost. $40 to $50 a month is probably what you're going to be looking to pay. And then obviously, I know with GoDaddy, they have what's called business hosting. And it's literally a one button upgrade or even downgrade. And so if you need more resources, if you need more memory, if you need more CPU, if you need more storage, then you're able to actually do a one button upgrade. And, you know, you don't have to migrate the site over or do any of that stuff. They do all of it for you. In addition, they also carry or offer dedicated server hosting. And so dedicated server hosting, like I said, you've got to have the chops or at least the technical expertise or know someone that does, that will be able to keep your website secure. And even if you don't know someone, typically the web hosting providers will offer that out of box for a paid price. And typically that price starts somewhere like $120, $125 a month and goes up from there. So yeah, it is a bit steep, but at the same time, you get what you pay for. And that was a lesson that I learned early on. So don't go cheap. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And so remember that, so that you don't run into that common pitfall of going cheap on web hosting. This next one is a bit deceiving because, and I think it gets most people, and it gets actually often a lot of people here, and they don't think about it. And if you could go back in time with what I'm about to tell you, most people will tell you, man, I wish I would have done this before launch, during launch, and just during the existence of their site. And that is, most people don't start a newsletter subscription. And so even if you're working on the idea, what I tell most is put up a splash page that has either a little pop-up that will allow the user to enter in their name, their email address, so that you can notify them once the launch goes live. Or if you've already launched, then you need to have, and you can do a pop-up or not do a pop-up, but I go somewhere, whether it's in your footer, whether it's on a sidebar, you need to have a newsletter subscription. Why? Well, depends on what you're offering. If you're offering services, if you're offering products, you want to be able to build, a newsletter subscription list that you can actually email at any given moment, a certain product offering, discounts, updates, the like. One of the things that happens oftentimes with folks who, let's just say you decide not to develop and you're using a social platform like Facebook or something, you don't own that data. You might think that you do, but you don't own that data. Facebook owns that data. And guess what? When they get ready to kick you off, delete your account or what have you, you've lost that. You've lost all that data. You've lost all the contact. You think about it. Do you have contact, or rather, do you have your fans, followers, likes, all this? Do you have those people? Do you have their contact information? Just cut to the chase. Do you have their email? Do you have their first name? Do you have the phone number? In most cases on social platforms, all you're doing is posting to your timeline platform in hopes that it gets in someone else's news feed. That's the only contact that they want you to have is through them. What I'm telling you is, hey, set up a newsletter, because one, you never know what may happen. Even in my personal projects, I set a newsletter up. Like, for instance, I have roundrockfirewood.com. It's a geo site. It's for Round Rock, Texas, which Round Rock is like 125,000 people. And essentially, I see at least 1 to 2 subscriptions on a weekly basis of people just signing up. I don't send a newsletter, but guess what? When I partner with companies that deliver the firewood, I tell them, hey, I have a growing list of people that if you want to send a newsletter to, then I charge them to send a newsletter on their behalf to this growing customer base. And so it may be something like, hey, we want to send a newsletter about how do you know the different types of firewood. Well, if that's the case, there is yet another opportunity now that I've just basically have an opportunity to serve a customer well, yet make a bit more money than I would have had I not had the subscription list. And the same goes with your development project. You have to start thinking about developing your own reach point or your own customer relationship CRM database of individuals, because these are eyeballs that when you start talking about advertising on your website, people want to know, do you have a distribution? And one of the things is people will often go into domain development to where they're online 2 years and then they all of a sudden get a newsletter subscription list. And it's like, yikes, like you've missed 2 years that you can't go back and get in time. So I highly recommend that when you go and start developing, that ought to be one of the things when your site hits live, before it hits live, you need to have a newsletter subscription, even if you don't even have a desire or plans to send anything out. it is just best to have it and collecting it over time so that when the opportunity does present itself, then you have something tangible to offer someone in terms of helping them reach and serve more customers. That being said, the next thing that's on the list is, and this one's quite funny because it's so common that, you know, it's actually ridiculous to a certain extent, and that is no understanding of content marketing. Oftentimes, as again, I get approached, hey, can you help us? Can you bring your technical expertise, your search marketing background, digital strategy background? Can you bring all of that to the fold? Sure. But one of the things is, if I don't have the expertise in that lane, if you will, or in that industry, then I often defer to the partner. And so I go, hey, partner, you've got to be able to write, since you're in the industry, you got to be able to write content. And they're like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And then ultimately what happens, or what's quite funny to me, is that they say yes, in the excitement of actually being able to go develop. And then all of a sudden what I start seeing are USA Today post regurgitated content, you know. Well, hey, here's a link, here's a title, put, you know, the first two paragraphs on, then link over to this site. And I'm like, well, that's great, but that's not going to help your search engine value. If anything, that's going to actually hurt your search engine rankings overall, as well as your site authority, because you're not producing original content. You're just copycatting. And so you really have to understand content marketing at its core. And it's based on you delivering consistent and value add high quality content that does not sell, but it seeks to educate customers, end users, or buyers that are in the process. There's no selling. It's really, think about, and one of the things that I tell most is, look at your industry and go, here are the five top things you need to know about this industry, or here are the five top things you need to know about this service or product. Look around what it means to start the product life cycle, as well as to end the product or service life cycle. And so oftentimes people don't understand that, and so they struggle with the thought of content marketing. And so when they struggle with content creation and ideas and topics and all of this, then oftentimes because they struggle with those, then they struggle with gaining consistency. And that's one thing that leads me to the next common pitfall, is no understanding of search marketing. So because you don't understand content marketing, then that basically leads you astray on search marketing. And what I mean by that is, content marketing is about the topics. It's about, you know, developing content that resonates with end users in such a way that, you know, you help solve their problems. So for instance, on Kickstart Commerce, I put out a how-to video every Wednesday, and have been, for like the last couple of years. It takes time to build in that consistency, and you got to get ahead of the curve, meaning oftentimes I will record 4 to 5 videos, which is almost like a month's worth of videos within, you know, given 1 to 2 days. Record the videos, write their descriptions, write their blog posts, schedule all of those, and now I'm ahead of the game. And so then I just have to stay ahead of the game by producing the next month out, and the next month out, and the next month out, and go from there. And so that same theory must be used and spread across all of your content, whether it's podcasting, whether it's writing blogs, whether it's infographics, whether it's guest posting or guest blogging. No matter what it is, you have to develop a cadence, a consistency, so that as you begin to use your or build your user audience, they understand that, oh, every Wednesday or every Friday or whatever day and time it is, they know that you're going to be consistent, in that not only are you going to be consistent, that you're going to deliver content that helps them solve their need or solve a problem. That being said, when you're coming out of that content marketing cadence like that, then and only then will search marketing you know, prove to work to your advantage. And I've seen, once I started doing these videos, what I've seen is my organic search results are out of this world. Why? Because now I've got YouTube at play. I have the podcast via Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Now that content's getting out into ecosystems that I wasn't privy to prior to that, as well as I'm using automation to get my posts from WordPress or my website out into Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And so I've built a cadence now with content marketing that now has served me well from a search marketing standpoint of, you know, being invited to be on other people's podcasts, being invited to speak at conferences, being invited to write, you know, as a contributing writer on industry, you know, top industry blogs. And so that being said, you've got to understand content marketing. You've got to understand how it is that you can take a topic and repurpose it across different mediums. And then from there, what that means is now you got to be able to understand search marketing. And search marketing goes more than just, I think oftentimes I hear people go, well, I want to develop a site, I want to get it out there, and then we'll use PPC ads to get traffic. That's great. That is a way. Is it a way that I recommend oftentimes? Oftentimes not, because you're just essentially wasting your money on money that could actually be spent if you spent the time to go do content research, do content marketing in an effective way that's going to give you the biggest bang for, the biggest bang or buck for your effort. And so that being said, I go, hey, focus on writing good content that solves people's problems, because when you do that, people will share your content, which then leads to greater search marketing value, search result value within search engines, because search engines do pay attention to someone clicking on a search result, going to the site, and then clicking back. If that happens, your bounce rate's going to be high as a kite, and get ready, because your search engine rankings are going to dive like crazy. One of the next things on the list, which I actually briefly mentioned before, is because you don't have a content marketing strategy at play, and it's not well thought out, not well documented, you often miss the opportunity of, you know, basically this common pitfall is not using automation for content sharing. And so, you know, to give you the example, when only thing that I need to consider are topics that I find passionate to write about, I write about those topics, I research those topics, I place them into my WordPress website. It gets scheduled. And like I said, I schedule those things typically out a month in advance. I schedule it. And then once it gets published, it then gets automatically published to Twitter. It gets published to LinkedIn. It gets published to Facebook. Not only that, then I also use automation tools that then I can go out even further into the future and begin to post things automatically. And what that does is creates buzz. It generates traffic for followers that, you know, hey, otherwise, if I'm doing it manually, I likely would miss them. Because often, you know, my day, it doesn't consist of just writing every day. No, I'm actually developing, doing consulting contracts. And so, you know, it may look like I'm spending all my time on those channels, those platforms, but no, we're actually harnessing the power of automation. And that's where people often miss. That's why on our site, if you go to kickstartcommerce.com, in the right hand side, in the sidebar, there's what's called the scoop, the newsletter. Once you subscribe to that, then on a daily basis, you get tips and tricks pertaining to search engine, search marketing, domain name strategies, WordPress tips and tricks. But all of those are basically like my automated blogs that have already been set up. And so there again, there's that newsletter. something gets posted, it gets sent to a group of people. Something gets posted, it gets sent to the general public via Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And so if you really want to step into the world of domain development and do yourself justice, you get set up with a content marketing strategy that harnesses the power of automation. That's what's going to actually grow your development opportunity. It doesn't take the place of the personal touch, but it does provide yet another engine that is consistently providing you with traffic and new opportunities and new relationships. So if you're not using automation, you need to start using it. Let's see, we're down to the last two pitfalls here, and this one is second to the last, and I know that we've been on for just a little bit, so if you can hang in there these last two, I'll make them worth your while. The last one, or the last comment, not necessarily the last comment pitfall, but the second to last comment pitfall is not using web analytics. I can't tell you the number of times that search marketing customers come to me. They say, hey, we had an SEO strategy. We had an SEO person come in. It didn't work out. And one of the first questions I ask is, well, do you have Google Search Console, or rather Search Console account? And do you have an analytics account? And I get the blank stare and I'm like, uh-oh. You've just missed out on a great opportunity to really understand how well or not well your site is doing. And so if you're not using web analytics, you're missing an opportunity to understand how you could actually improve your overall user experience, as well as you got to understand where your people are coming from and what's actually resonating with them on your website. It does you a disservice if you're going to venture into domain development and you're not going to install web analytics of any sort, whether that be Kissmetrics, Crazy Egg, Google Analytics. Like, use metrics. Metrics will help tell you and guide you down the way and keep you from working on things that are not important or not deemed important. And so I look at my metrics every day for Kickstart Commerce because I want to understand where people are coming from, how they are getting to the site, and then what they're doing once they're there at the site. I can actually see a journey, you know, from one user. I may not know that user's name, but I can see a journey from, hey, they entered this page, then they journeyed through these links or these page paths, and here's where they exited. That's what I want to know. Why? Because that actually helps me to prepare future content or even adjust content that's there. There have been many times that I've had to adjust content. So use analytics so that you understand your conversion rates, you understand which pages are high bounce pages, and so that you're not, you know, instructing visitors there to those high bounce pages. You're actually beginning to transform that experience into one that is a seamless experience, and one that's a value add experience. So use value, use and value web analytics when and where you can. Last but not least, one, this gets often overlooked to a certain extent. It does and it doesn't, because I think oftentimes this is the very reason most people go into domain development, and it's to make money. And so the common pitfall here is that in most cases, people that and I've been guilty of this as well, so, you know, don't feel bad if it's you, that you go out and you go, oh, I get this idea, oh, and I'm going to make money. And then the interesting thing is, I don't think that most people think through what a sustainable business model looks like. So we talk about what the revenue looks like, and everybody is all starry-eyed, oh, this is going to make our, we'll be able to quit our jobs, this, that, and the third. Well, the reality is we don't think about a holistic business model, meaning that we only think about the revenue side, but we don't think about, as the revenues grow, likely will your cost grow, and that's only to be able to sustain the revenue growth. And so you really need to sit down and objectively look and mark out and really budget out and say, these are realistic revenues that we think that we can actually achieve and obtain and sustain at this cost. And so as you begin to grow a business or grow a development, domain development, you'll be able to understand that, hey, for every revenue milestone realized, we know with at least, you know, I guess a good margin of error here, a reasonable margin of error, we know with that certainty that, hey, when we realize this revenue, then X amount of cost is going to be associated to that revenue realized. That's often overlooked, not even really thought about in terms of some folks in terms of domain development. Again, I've been there, done it, and it doesn't feel real good when you start seeing that as much as you're realizing, you're bleeding. And so that being said, take some time to really understand. And I go back to, this means that you must understand your strengths. If accounting or numbers or revenue models or business models are not your strength, you're going to have to get somebody in there who understands that before you go out and just kind of start your own thing. So that being said, with that, we're out of time. So I thank you for listening. I hope that these 16 common pitfalls of domain development, one, will enlighten you, but then two, I hope that you will be able to take some of the guidance and be proactive in terms of your next domain development. Like I said, I don't want those 16 to discourage you. If anything, I want it to encourage you, as well as to lead you, guide you, and equip you into a successful as well as a profitable domain development. So thank you for tuning in to Kickstart Commerce, where we share search marketing and domain investing strategies to help grow your business. Last but not least, please subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Podbean. And also, don't forget to visit kickstartcommerce.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter, where I share search marketing, domain name strategies, and WordPress tips and tricks to grow your business. Thanks, and that's all for now.